Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 A Game 842 here on the morning shift. Mike, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. A little overcast out there, but I know the temperatures are a little bit lower today. I got the pullover on. Feels pretty good. Bo's always got a pullover on. Dylan, we're going to have to correct some things, man. I got people coming at me on Twitter. They think that my shooting form's all off. I just want to tell people out there, this man's never seen me shoot a basketball. I'm questioning everything. I'm questioning my shoes. What about me looks like I can't shoot? I don't know what it is, but I'm starting to question my entire look. So
it's kind of an elitist.
Got to be corrected.
It's kind of an elitist view. You know, Dylan views himself elite as a basketball player, and yeah. So therefore he's now looking down on others. And
Dylan's going to have an identity crisis when I take him to the court and absolutely outjay his man. He's going to have an identity crisis.
Mike, you don't want that smoke, bro. We've talked about your feet already.
To lose here.
Your feet and ankles have been through it, dog. I don't want to send you back down that road,
big
fella.
I got nothing to lose here, my friend.
I mean, I ain't ducking no smoke, but I'll say what you said back in the day. You don't want to smoke. But you can get it.
But you can get it. Fair enough, man. Fair enough. All right, let's finish up a lot of this Falcons conversation we've been having throughout the day, man. And, you know, I believe they are practicing today. It is game week, fully engaged right. game week. And we will have sound from out there tomorrow and be able to really kind of dive back into this. And the good thing is tomorrow is a Falcons Friday, but then you got that bonus game day on Monday that we'll be able to really get into the X's and O's of, you know, what Josh Allen, you know, presents as a quarterback, what James Cook presents as a running back, and a lot more of the conversation to come. Now, we talked about this a number of times about the new wrinkles to be expected and some of the other things that are going on within this offense. Raheem Morris did talk about Drake London and how he's effective really in any role they want to utilize him.
I don't know if he's just an effective slot receiver. I think he's just an effective wideout. So you want to move him around for different reasons, right? He's able to go in there. He's an intimidating force in the run game to be able to block for us, to be able to, you know, get body on body and get yards for Bijan. He's able to go in there and absolutely do all of his cuts that he can have with different areas on the field. He's able to go on the outside and win one-on-one. He's just a big dog receiver. Like, we like to put him in there and do different things, and like to put him on the outside to do different things. And he's one of those guys you want to move around and try to get as many places as you can.
I don't want to get a T-shirt with that written on it. He's just a big dog receiver.
Well, I don't know who was talking about it. It was somebody on this radio station. It was like, hey, they thought that Drake wasn't being used in the same way that he was last year. And I actually think there's truth to that. It might have been Carl and Mike. I really can't remember. But I thought there was some truth to that because week one, he wasn't used in the same way. He was used in the red area a little bit like that. But remember, you're missing Darnell.
Right.
And so you needed something different from Drake.
Yes.
And
makes sense.
In week two, he was used that way, though. Go look at the big catch where he runs a slot route, right, where he kind of runs.
Yeah,
him and Kyle run on the same side, and they both – the depth of their routes are different, but as soon as Kyle saw that Drake had caught it, he starts blocking. It was like a second and like 16,
yeah.
And he breaks it for like 18 yards, gets the first down. That was the drive where they ended up letting Algiers score at the very end, and yep. That sprung that drive. There he is being used that way.
Yeah,
Carolina, burn it. I am at the point now with that Carolina game where I don't even remember most of what happened other than it sucked.
Already flushed it.
Yeah, I flushed it.
Okay.
And then against Washington, Drake kind of did it all, in kind of going in line with what Raheem said. Can I give you, though, something of why you don't need him as much this year? in that slot.
Wow.
Because Kyle Pitts is being exactly what you need.
It's a great point,
and
actually.
You can't complain about Drake's usage and not in the slot. And I'm not saying you're complaining. I'm just saying you can't be like, well, why aren't we getting that? Because Kyle Pitts is giving you that, and he didn't give you that last year. And Bijan is giving you more of that this year than you got from him last year. So other guys are stepping up and taking that off of Drake, and there's not as much on him, yet Drake's still giving you 100-yard games like he did last time out.
Yeah, I want to touch on that for a minute, but I do want to play this cut. Raheem was updating everybody on Darnell Mooney and Kadarius Hodge this week.
Yeah, well, Mooney, okay, so Mooney, we'll get more information as the week goes. Same thing as Hodge, letting those guys go. Obviously, Mooney came out of that game. Our last one had the bye week. Obviously, we'll get more information on him when we start practicing and some of those different things. But and the same with Hodge. Hodge will be doing some things with us, you know, in practice, but we'll get a better feel for those guys as we move towards the week.
It's important to talk about Darnell Mooney. And here's the question I have, because I think you make a phenomenal point about the usage of Drake London when Darnell Mooney is in the lineup versus when he's out of the lineup. We've talked about that Darnell Mooney coming in last year allowed Drake London to kind of be who he needed to be in his own game. He's not trying to be the outside receiver most of the time. The question I have, and this is something I hope we get answered in the coming weeks, and a lot of it has to do with Darnell's health. Is there room for both Darnell and Kyle to have 1,000-yard seasons in this offense? Darnell gets close last year. Kyle's had one before.
There's not enough.
If you're going to use Bijan as a receiver out of the backfield the way we all believe he should be used, and if Drake London's still going to get his yardage, it's hard for me because we've focused a lot on Darnell over the last couple weeks. What's wrong with Darnell? Is he still injured? Is there a fracture in the relationship with Michael Penix? Are they out of sequence? Do we know how to utilize him? You bring up a good point, man. With Kyle Pitts playing the way he is, maybe there is a utilization factor where it's like Darnell might just be a 3 catches per game kind of guy if Kyle Pitts is putting up the numbers he has.
Kyle Pitts has 205 yards. He had 602 last season. So in 4 games, he's already got 205 yards. No, but it's just not about Kyle. I mean, Bijan already has has 270 yards receiving. How many did he have last year? That's the question.
500.
I think so. I think it something was right like around that. There.
Yep.
So he's already ahead of schedule. He had last season receiving yards. He had 584. No, excuse me. That's wrong. That's how many. He had 431.
We'll figure it out.
He had 431. He's got 270 now. He's ahead. So here's the deal. Now, part of that's because Darnell's been out. But what I'm telling you is someone is going to have less yardage. It's automatically going to be Darnell Mooney this year because he's missed a game. He missed half of another game. And he hasn't really been overly productive. I mean, you know, you look at him now and he's only got 79 yards receiving this year season. So he's been less. But what I will tell you is, though, is that there's only one guy really on this receiving core that can, they all can do it all, but in the same game, like Darnell comes in and you're like, all right, that's going to be my deep guy. Drake's going to be my kind of everything guy. Kyle Pitt, as far as doing it all. And Kyle Pitts is predominantly the biggest way to use Kyle Pitts. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think the best way to use him is get the ball in his hands while he's on the move. I don't need him, and I know it sounds silly, but I'm talking about, like, you know, little drag routes, crossing routes, you know, the little slants. Like, yeah. I don't need him. I don't need him running go routes, and I don't need him running comeback routes constantly. I think if you want to showcase him, it's hitting him on the run.
Yeah, I think I used to have a coach that used to call those flash and go guys, right? He's a flash and go. Like, he's going to run a quick slant and try to hit him on the run with a quick slant. He's going to, just like his touchdown, he's going to flash on the defensive end, and he's going to get into the flat.
That's where he's the best.
That kind of thing, a flash and go guy. Not necessarily a deep threat, but a flash and go guy or a burner across the middle, much in the way you would say I'm trying to think of a receiver that kind of fits that mold, like a Zay Flowers maybe. Yeah. Kind of one of those people where they're going to like fake a screen to him and then get him going across the middle, and he's going to outrun a lot of people.
let him run away from the linebacker or maybe the safety that's come down to cover him, and then when a DB tries to come up on him, let him run over that guy. Like, I think that's where he he could really make a lot of hay.
I agree.
Anyway,
I agree.
Let's hit it, divesting, Dylan.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reorganize that pantry. So I got all my Baron Burton's products in one little area of the shelf now. The breakfast sauce, the breakfast sauce 2, the everyday hot sauce, and obviously the W sauce regular and fire shower. So now it's all in one area, even the big bottles. All right. We are going to talk sports if you consider NASCAR a sport. Personally, I do. What is sports? Athletes competing. That's what NASCAR is. Mm, and they're athletes.
At the highest level.
Steve O'Donnell went on the Dell Jr. Download. Nothing's going to be announced about changes to the sport before the end of the season. However, they're going to add 750 horse. They're going to increase the 750 horsepower at every track and under a mile and a half. Does that count mile and a half, or has it be under?
I think it's got to be under.
Okay.
And road courses, I believe.
Most people think that is a lot about nothing because you're not really going super fast there.
Well, let me just let everybody in. You currently are at 670 horsepower. The cars that everybody remembers, the nostalgic cars that everybody remembers, were like 850 or 900, like a lot more horsepower. And then they cut them down for safety reasons, trying to keep the car from going airborne, all the other stuff. They cut it way, way down. Got to put a lot more drag on these cars. It's made them more aero dependent, and it's forced, you know, wind tunnel time and everything else. It's kind of taken the raw feeling away from the drivers and fans. And so I think a lot of people are rejoicing that you are adding 80 horsepower back into the cars of these tracks.
My favorite thing is the guy on Twitter who has a engine hanging from a tree in the front yard with chains. Mechanic. Yeah, it's like, it should be 1,000. I ain't going to hurt the aero. They're idiots. And it's like, yeah, they've done thousands upon thousands of hours of research on this. Mm-hmm. But the guy with the tree hanging from the engine hanging from his tree is going to tell you what they should do. Love it. Secondly, they're going to change the current playoff system. The quote was paraphrasing is the current playoffs potentially hurt star power. I think there's some truth to that. I think the better thing is when he says, we don't like it about how someone talks after the first race, which is Daytona 500, it's playoffs already.
Yeah.
Because of the win. So it sounds like they're going to get a format where they take away the automatic win, making the playoffs, but still make wins count more while going back and making the playoff structure more reliant on consistency.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Let's just catch people up to date that don't understand the NASCAR system. So if you win any race, you're automatically in the playoffs. The playoffs are, what, 12 races long, 10 races long, something along those lines. I think it's 10.
Yeah.
You get 26 races to win one, and then if you win one, you're automatically in the playoffs. If there's not 16 winners, which that's how many cars go to the playoffs, then you take the highest points total. Then you get a round of three, a round of three, a round of three, and then four champion drivers make one race in Phoenix, and whoever finishes on top in that one race wins the championship. I hate the format for two different reasons. I hate the winning you're in. I think it's ridiculous, and I say that as an SVG fan who is going to win road courses at least once a year, but he needs to finish better on the ovals if he's going to be a playoff driver. And I also hate the finale. I think that people look at it, and they're trying to create this drama of having four drivers in one race, but it's ridiculous. You're going to go to one racetrack where we all know that some race car drivers are better at at certain racetracks than others. So they're going to have a hand up. Give me a three-race finale where you hit Martinsville, Kansas or Vegas, and you know whatever you can go back to Phoenix.
Do we need a super speedway in there? To showcase
not in the final round.
To showcase every different style other than road course.
Not in the final round. I don't think so. I don't think in the final round that we need that. We've got if you count Echo Park, our friends at Echo Park, we've now got six super speedways on the schedule. I'm good on that. I don't need those in the final round. Now, if you want to put Echo Park in the first round of the playoffs, sign me up.
Well,
good stuff.
As much as I want that, I don't want that because the playoffs start during football season, then we can't go and do what we do. So let's keep Echo Park maybe in like June or July.
Hey, I want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic.
That's my tournament.
Presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 92.9thegame.com and click the events link. But do it now, because foursomes are going quickly. That's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. And a reminder, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back with you at 6 a.m. in the morning live from Publix in Buckhead. The Steakhouse is up next with Rusty Menzel. Until then, make sure you
divest when you need to and invest when you need to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.